We're interpretive dancing by Taryn in the first one. Now our guest, Carla Lopez, is doing it, and it's amazing. And I hope you, the listeners, are doing it too as we move the oceans with your hands, turn it into paper sands. I don't know what that is. But most importantly, though, guys,
Write it down. I like it.
Yeah, right. It was interpretive poetry. We've been talking about Broken Social Scene. We did a podcast where we ranked their albums, I'm sorry, their masterpieces against one another. It was really fun, and the number one album is wrong, but that's okay. So, most importantly, though, we were in the Happy Hour Mini, so we're talking about whatever the fuck we want to talk about, and there's lots to talk about. But the first thing we're going to talk about is the thing we talk about at the talk of every Happy Hour Mini.
Fucking auctioneer right now.
I knew it was gonna get a reaction.
Oh god.
Guys,
the thing we're talking about is the talk about it's not very movie, so there were like most of the consonants there, but yeah, not quite.
It was like kind of a traffic jam of a sentence. Guys, seriously though, what is the worst Broken Social Scene song? Now, I think if you could ask all of us, we would all say Prison Province off of Feel Good Lost, that fucking Going Nowhere Bass Experiment.
It's the only thing that's annoying.
Right. So let's all agree on that. Let's discount it, and let's do our number two ranked, whatever it may be, worst Broken Social Scene song.
Okay.
Okay. I would say Me and My Hand off of Forgiveness Rock
Record. That's what I was going to say.
That fucking wispy little nothing of a song that literally every time I forget it.
Because it was the only song that we're like, okay,
every time
we get
off
this masterpiece.
Right, every time I hear it, I forget what it sounds like. And then I try and repeat it and I don't know. It's just so blah, blah, blah. It evaporates as you hear it. It's incredible.
I know we're not supposed to look at notes, but I have to look at a note because I wrote down my least
favorite. Happy Hour Minisode.
It's the Happy Hour Minisode,
yeah,
right?
You can do whatever you want, baby.
All right,
free
here
country.
We go. Let's see.
Taryn, what's your pick?
I mean, Me and My Hand's an obvious choice. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at other things, but they have a pretty incredible
solid
consistency.
Yeah.
All right. I think also, especially later on, they have so many collaborators, and especially on Forgiveness Rock Record and Hug of Thunder, where they really wanted to let everyone write, because mm-hmm. everyone had their own side projects.
Right,
they
right,
were
right.
all songwriters, so they might as well collaborate. That, like, they didn't pick any bad songs.
Mm-hmm. Carlo, you were looking at your notes?
No, my notes confirmed that it was Me and My Hand. I told you guys I'm not good with remembering the name, so I just wanted to double check,
right.
But I was like, oh yeah, no, that's the advisor there.
All right,
nice.
Now,
all right.
We were going to talk about Beehives a little bit, Together the B-Sides, a Rarities compilation, if we
yeah.
have thoughts about that.
Market
yeah.
Fresh is a great song.
Yeah.
Market Fresh. It's a nice, solid, Broken Social Scene song.
Yeah. And that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Ambulance for the Ambience, whatever the fuck that's called, it's fine.
And like,
Ambulance.
I like the head toss out with the Hallmark
yeah.
spelling. But these aren't memorable tracks. They're really a toss back
yeah.
to the full-blown ambience of the first record.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even lesser versions of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were probably recorded at the same time.
Right, and
that's
part of the reason why, if it was part of the ranking, I would have put it at my number six.
Which is exactly why I was like,
yeah.
why would we bother?
Exactly. So, yeah, I was tossing it out there. You don't know.
Okay,
these
right,
things happen.
Yeah,
they change.
Right.
Carla, what were your thoughts on Beehives?
I'm not, like, super familiar with it, to be
that's
honest.
Fine.
I mean, I
perfectly
know the Lover's
fine.
Spit different
yeah.
version that we talk about,
yeah,
but I'm not super
version.
Into it.
Yeah,
yeah.
People love the Leslie Fine. Well, and even, okay, so the other thing is that Lover's Spit is referenced lyrically by Lorde on her debut album, this amazing fucking song, it's still her best song, called Ribs. And, you know, that drink you spilled all over.
Taryn, do you agree that that's Lorde's best song?
No.
Because
yeah.
you made a face. And
love
I was like, oh, this
spit left on repeat.
I mean,
yeah.
my favorite Lorde song is still 400 Bucks.
Yeah! That's not bad.
But anyway.
Yeah. But the thing, when that happened, that, you know, that whole thing, and it's just like, and not a lot of people got that, and I'm like, holy shit, she's referencing Broken Social Scene in her lyric?
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing. And so when the last time I talked to Kevin Drew, I brought that up to him. And he's like, oh yeah, and so like this, people were just like, oh, you gotta hear this thing. But I didn't know who this was. I wasn't sure if this was like a kid in Indiana or whatever. So I kept calling it Lordy. Because that's how it was spelled, you know. Yeah.
Fair.
And so yeah. That, but then it then she's like, oh, she's like running the game right now. Like she became a thing. And so then he finally had to tell Feist about it too. And when he told her, she laughed. She's like, oh, that's so funny. But like, I'm like, that's just super cool though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also like that drink you spilled over me, lover spit on repeat. You are painting a very specific scene with those lyrics. Yeah.
Like. I want to be friends with the people who are throwing that party.
Right. And like, also, yeah, but I can guarantee you 90% of Lord's listeners just hear this lover spit the phrase instead of, like, thinking it's a song reference there. But I'm like, that's awesome.
I mean, I think from the rest of the lyric, you can assume it's a song.
Right.
Or a film or something that you can put on repeat.
Yeah, she's describing it a little bit. Yeah.
I know. But yeah, who knows? Still, cool.
Context clues.
I know, context clues, guys. But I also like how that's, you know... She integrated that. They're that part of that culture, which is incredible. Because they're still a cult band. They're still, you know, like, not a lot of people know who they are, but the people who do know are in that shit.
Huge in Canada.
Right. I know, yeah. Also, I didn't even realize that their best-selling album is Forgiveness Rock Record. It debuted on the Canadian charts at number one. It's their only album to do that.
That's, I mean, it's accessible as fuck.
You're not going to swear our decision, okay, Evan?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Papa Carlo. I appreciate you putting me in line there. But that being said, though, can we talk about briefly... their side projects. There are many. What do we got? We got Metric. We got Stars. Lesser known groups like Apostle Hustle and Valley of the Giants and other things like that. Feist. Yeah.
I mean, right. Feist is a force of nature, which is why she actually doesn't have any lead vocals on Forgiveness Rock Record.
I know.
She does some backing shit, but she wasn't around for like. The writing of
yeah,
the song.
because she's been winning awards and like doing other chart things. Even though it's weird though, because as time goes on, she gets less and less accessible with her solo work.
Yeah.
Like it is like Metals was kind of this jarring thing, and then her new album is just like, wow, you were just like doing atonal guitar shit. Okay, cool. And like some critics are like, oh yeah, she's the new Cat Power, and I'm like, cool.
Damn, that's cool.
But
I haven't listened to that.
Did we need a new Cat Power? We still have Cat Power.
Cat Power's still alive, guys. Don't forget about Cat Power.
Also, she's the Feist.
Yeah. Also, Feist's debut album, aside from Mushaboom, which is fucking great, she does an incredible cover of Inside and Out, the Bee Gees classic, a disco song. She does it so goddamn well. I don't know. I really like Feist, guys. I'm just telling you that right now. She's goddamn good.
I mean, her tracks are always a highlight.
All right. Speaking of highlights, gay penises. I want to talk about that real quick because
are they different than straight penises?
Oh, dude, they're rainbow colored. Don't you know that?
Shit.
It's crazy. Exactly, they ejaculate rainbows.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what?
The thing I want to talk about though, because Tara and I were having this discussion earlier about the lyrics of Broken Social Scene are. I mean, sometimes very angular, very odd, very specific. You know, when you hear something like, you know, Highway Slipper Jam, or when you hear something like Art House Director, you know, the starlet is a harlot, she will not leave a trailer.
Who cares what the lyrics of Art House Director are?
They
just made rhyming sounds.
Like, exactly, and which is great.
They are sort of related, but those like inverse, purist protector, canyon connector, that's not a thing.
Right. One of the research things that we were doing this week, I have this book called This Book is Broken, kind of the Broken Social Scene story, an oral history featuring fucking everyone.
Yeah.
Even
non-band members.
Yeah.
Like,
awesome.
The members of everyone else's other bands.
Mm-hmm. But Taryn was reading that just recently, kind of diving into it, but he had an amazing story about Leslie Feist meeting Kevin for the first time.
Oh, yeah. So she says, there's this one blurb from her where she's talking about meeting... Like, she saw Kevin at a party and assumed he was gay because there was a dude in his lap. And then she found out later he was married, and she was like, what's this dude's deal?
Yeah. I mean, some have said, I can't remember if it was like a press release or whatever, talking about how Kevin Drew was the guy that made it cool for straight guys in Toronto to hug each other again. Because, like, he's just like an all love, he's a hippie. I mean, he is legitimately like a hippie.
I forget, I think it was Brendan Canning. I might be attributing a quote from a different band member to him, but he was like, we should do as the hippies do, only dress better.
That's amazing.
That's, I love that.
Yeah, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's kind of amazing. But, like, legitimately, there is a lot of, like, just outright sex stuff that permeates the lyrics all the way straight through. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from it's all gonna break, you know. When I was a kid, they fucked me in the ass. I'm like, oh, okay, you're doing that. On a solo record, there's Backed Out On Though, which is Backed Out On The Cocks over and over again, being repeated. My love is for my man.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just like, the more you add it up, it's just like, and of course, I'm still your fag, obviously. But it's just like, it's fascinating how, like, it's weirdly, I still believe that he's straight. He's just free with everything, you know?
And I think I was reading that was, like, kind of the scene at the time, in the way that many art scenes form. It's like, yes, they were musicians, but they were also visual artists, and they were friends mm-hmm. with a lot of those people, and friends with the actors, and with the queer community.
Mm-hmm. It's not just something that came and was born out.
Right,
yeah.
So that was just, like, something that he was familiar
like
with.
Like a free
clearly
love,
very
artsy scene.
Exactly.
Comfortable, like,
yeah.
Super, like,
and so,
fluid, should we say? Like, it's just kind of like,
yeah,
whatever.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. And so, like
I guess I should just say whatever.
Even if he is straight, he's clearly very open to that.
Right.
As for the multiple stories we've told.
Right.
And so he feels comfortable writing from that position, even if he hasn't maybe experienced it in the same way.
Right. Ding, 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 ding. Guys, it's game show time. I don't know if you know that right now. But right now, Carlo, our sweet, sweet guest, he is a lover of pop music, as we know. So now we're going to do a little game with Carlo. I'm going to pull out three late 90s pop hits. And I'm just going to lay them out for you. First off, do you remember You Get What You Give by the New Radicals?
Vaguely.
Yeah,
no.
Like kind of this like piano.
Say no.
Yeah.
Wait.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
We got the Venus disease. Yeah. I can't remember the rest of it. But
yeah, that's
like,
all. That's all I remember.
Totally sure.
Yeah, that's like literally all I remember.
Okay.
So there's you only get what you give. Don't stop now. It's got the money. Anyway, so there's
yeah.
That.
It was like 90.
Yeah.
What movie was it in?
Oh, it's several.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't hardly wait, I'm sure. But then there was also LFO's Summer Girls. I'm not sure if you remember that. New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits.
Yeah.
Chinese food makes me sick. And I think it's fly one girl stop by for the summer.
So.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was Len Steal My Sunshine.
Yes.
I know. It's not for me.
Don't you steal my sunshine.
Which is based off an Andrew True Correction. Yeah, that was a terrible rendition.
Yeah.
Andrew True Connection. It was actually the breakdown of a disco song, More, 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 which is a crazy thing. They thought she was a porn star in the 70s. But, so those two songs, Steal My Sunshine, what was the first one was? I can't remember. You know, New Radicals, You Get What You Give. Sorry.
Yeah.
And Summer Girls by LFO. Those are the ones I was thinking
New
of.
New Radicals, dude, he had the blue hat on
yeah.
the video.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
And that dude went on to get an Oscar nomination for a song he did for an Adam Levine movie. So who the fuck knows? Things change. He also did Game of Love by Carlos Santana featuring Michelle Branch. Whole thing. But of those three songs, guess which one actually has a member of Broken Social Scene in the band?
Ooh.
Yeah. You got New Radicals. You got LFO. Whatever the other one is.
Len.
And
yes.
Len.
This is a real thing. And it's in the book as Broken, and I can't fucking believe it. I'm like, really?
It's not LFO.
Okay, it's not the boy band LFO.
It's not
that's,
LFO.
You're putting that out there.
I'm
okay.
Putting that out there.
I'm not telling you if you're right or wrong. I'm just, you know, I'm going with that.
Fuck, man. Because initially, I was just like, Len. But also, that song's just stuck in my head now
mm-hmm.
that you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, fuck. But New Radical seems a little more likely. But does it? Len, dude.
You're going with Len?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding!
You're
the renter! Brendan Canning, the fucking co-head of, you know, Broken Social Scene, he was the bassist of Len.
That's
which
incredible.
Is amazing, right?
And that is part of why they made the major label debut decision
yeah.
to not have
a hit song that would just,
they
like,
did not
want to
be that indie band that had a one-hit wonder, and then
has to play
like,
for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Right that was, honestly, when I read The Book Is Broken.
Think about the video, too.
He's probably in there in the background somewhere. And, like, in the book, he talks about how, like, they were going to hotels and taking jet flights and everything. Like, once you have a hit song, doesn't matter what, like, if things just take off for you, you may not have another hit, but in that moment, you're, like, the thing. You're, like, it's a big deal.
It's insane.
And so, and that's why also I feel like his knowledge of, like, oh, here's what happens if you blow up too quickly, I feel like was also kind of influential. Because, as we know, Kevin just wears his fucking heart on his sleeve. I have so many Kevin stories, because I've interviewed him 4 fucking times, which is its own thing. And there's this other band, part of Arts and Crafts. Arts and Crafts is a label that Kevin Drew actually founded, which is pretty cool. And he co-runs still. So as such, there's this group called the Most Serene Republic, which were this great kind of indie art rock, architecture rock band, I call them, because everybody was in architecture, listened to their music a lot. It was great. It felt like a good fit. Arty, crazy, fun. But the thing is, they were the first band on Arts and Crafts that didn't have anything to do with Broken Social Scene. Like, Kevin heard their demos, like, these guys fucking rock, sign them. And that's what happened. And apparently there was this some EP they were gonna put out that, like, they sent it to Arts and Crafts. And they, like, you know, they're just like, I don't know, guys, it needs a little bit more pop, it needs a little bit more something or other. And so then, apparently, Kevin Drew came by their place one time. He wanted to hang out with the guys that aren't part of Broken Social Scene. Like, hey, guys, what's up? And he was blitzed. He was, like, out there. And they're like, hey, Kevin, what you do? You know, I just wanted to swing by. I just wanted to see what's going on. And they, like, played him a new EP. And he's like, fucking hell, guys. This is fucking great, man. This is incredible. This is, why did you send it? We have sent it to you. Oh, shit, I'll take care of that. The next day, the label's like, okay, we're putting out your EP. It's coming out on this day. Like, they just, like... He just swung by and just, that's the thing that happened. And it's weird, though, because the third time I interviewed him was, like, for the 10th anniversary of Arts and Crafts, his record label. And he was, like, they weren't even doing promotion for it. Like, the album was coming out, and I pitched it to the publicist, and they're like, sure, I mean, I know you've interviewed with Kevin. Sure, yeah, sure, let's make it happen. So then I call him, he's like, dude, I mean, I haven't been in, like, the interview cycle for a while, but I'm, like, ready for it. I'm like, cool, whatever you got. I'm like, so, the Most Serene Republic, you remember that band? They're on this compilation, and they're no longer with Arts and Crafts, the record label. He's like, fuck. Why do you gotta bring that up right away? Oh, shit. And he just felt, like, so bad. Because, like, this band wasn't a part of it anymore. And he just felt like he just wasn't prepared for a question about them. He wanted to talk about all the other different acts that were associated with it. So he just got, like, really down right away. And it was not my intention at all. They were just the last band I talked to before we did anything. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, dude. But yeah, he's a very... I mean, he told me that story about, like, going to that party. And a boy telling him, like, he taught me how to love. And him, like, kissing him. Like, he's just a very open and honest guy. He will just put it out there. And that's why, like, he remembers me, and he, like, was worried when he interviewed me those few times, just because, like, we always get to, like, deeply emotional truths or whatever. But, like, and that's why, like, I really want to, like, one day I would just love to just, like, drink with him or just, like, hang out with
him. Right, like, actually see him. Because now that you've talked to him for, like, a total of multiple hours.
Like, on
a not professional level, right? Because, like, even though it's, like, I'm sure a great conversation, you were there doing a job. So, like, you want to hang out with him.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, that's one of those one artists, just because he's the only person I've interviewed multiple times, because, sorry, Lou Reed's dead. Like, legitimately, like, he's just great, and, you know, it's weird that he recognized me, but that's not the point. The other thing, though, before we even started the Happy Hour minisode, I had to break the rules a little bit, and dear listeners, it's the tag of this episode, so get strapped in. I do have a recording of Kevin Drew's answering machine, the first time I ever tried to call him, which is just amazing, and you need to hear it. But that being said, he's not the only member of Broken Social Scene. Do you have guys have thoughts about the Feist or the Metrics or the other various associated acts tied in therein?
Yeah, there's a couple Metric songs that I really fucking like. Mm-hmm. For example, Gold Guns Girls from their 2009 effort.
Uh-huh.
It's just, like, fucking hammers hard. And they're always a band that I, like, knew about but didn't check out fully for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But then I listened to a couple tracks just to, like, remind me what they sounded like this week. And I was like, they really do, like, they fit with the Broken Social Scene sound. It is different. It's a specific segment of it, but yeah, Metric's really great. I know a couple songs by Stars too, I think.
You Hold On If You Get Love and Let Go If You Get It. That's a fucking great song too,
I know nothing about Stars. I do know some Metric songs. I don't mind them.
Yeah, right.
It's
That's
just
fair.
Like they're fine in the background. Like it's totally cool when I'm at Urban Outfitters picking up a new movie. But they just, there's something about them that doesn't really, like, I actually saw them once just because my friends were all going and we were like, sure, let's go. And it was a good show, but I just, they're not really there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Feist, I honestly, and it's probably because it's a happy hour episode, and probably because I have terrible memory, I can't remember like a single name of any one of her songs.
I do like her.
Even that one that was the Apple commercial song. Yeah, she has other ones that are like equally great. And I also saw her live, and her.
Really?
Yeah, that was a really long time ago. Okay. I can't tell you what year, but it was my ex-sister-in-law and I and my brother went, and it was a great show. And I will say that about her. Like, in person, it sounds so good and so, like, it just, you can tell it's her, it's so good. And she's just, like, got a good stage presence. I don't know. She's chill when she needs to be. She's dramatic. And that's actually one of the things I like about Lore, too, like, her weird interpretive dances. And it reminds me a lot of, like, things that I've seen Feist do when she's doing her own thing.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool little factoid.
Yeah.
That's not too surprising. I can see Lore being inspired a bit.
Mm-hmm. Guys, we've been drinking a lot, and it's been fantastic, I do want to say. Also,
I was going to tell the story about how they met Feist.
Oh!
Because it's actually really fascinating.
Okay,
yeah.
Hit us.
So, Feist was in a band in high school that won a contest. Like, she's from Calgary, but she won this, like, Battle of the Bands contest, and her band played on a, like, small... It's Toronto, right?
They're
from? Yeah. On a small Toronto, like, festival, like a local fest with, and now I can't even remember which band it was. I think it might have been Head. Head broke up too early.
Okay.
Anyway, they were on a festival bill with, maybe it was Head, because I want to say it was Brendan's band with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then Brendan liked her voice so much and her performance that he, like, gave her his phone number and was like, let me know if you're ever back in Toronto. Like, I would love to use you on a record. And then randomly, like, called her.
It sounds so sketchy, but it's
right,
so
exactly. Yeah,
like,
no,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, I promise. I'm going to put you on the record.
I'm
going to
put you on a big record,
baby. I'm
going to
put you on the record.
Don't pour it
all over. Yeah. Okay.
But then, like,
I like how we did the
called
same
her and had her record one of his songs. While she was still, like, living in Calgary. And then she totally forgot about them, basically. Like,
mm-hmm.
she did that thing. It was fun. And they, like, they got along very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then she actually moved in with, like, a family member in Toronto and was, like, two blocks away from them. And then they called again wanting her to, like, re-record that song. And from there, she just, like, joined the whole art scene.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's
and the fact that she's had the career that she's had, too, is just incredible, too. Because, listen, like, as much as we know 1, 2, 3, 4 are Musha Boom, she's also got a lot of other great-ass songs out there, too. I feel it all, I feel it all. There's that one there. There's My Moon, My Man, Brandy
moon
Alexander.
Man
My Moon, My... That's a song I didn't like at first, but over time I'm like, that's just me getting older. I'm like, yeah, that's a fucking great-ass song, too. The thing I love is Kevin then also tosses out a lot of songs. Just, like, he has so many different random solo songs. He also has his line of Body Butter. We didn't really talk about that. His second solo
and
album,
a line
Darlings.
Of Beard Oil.
And what?
He has a line of Beard Oil.
What?
Oh! And here I am sitting all dry beard.
But when you apply Kevin Drew's, I can't think.
I hope it's called beard butter.
I think that's your thing. You and Carla Lopez is beard butter.
I can't believe it's not beard butter.
Yeah, exactly.
This is great, guys. I think it's a fantastic thing.
This is primo material.
I know, exactly. Yeah, premium content for premium subscribers.
Premium, not butter.
Yeah, it's all right. Listen, I think we've had a lot of conversation.
Yeah,
I think
we've
we're pretty
out.
Good.
Yeah.
But that being said, we've had a lot of different, like, little trivia and factoids. And if you guys have any to share as well as your ranking of what you think the best Broken Social Scene albums are, please let us know. Go to our Facebook page. That's where we are. We hang out there. It's cool. We're leaning against boards. We got sunglasses on and cigarettes in our mouths. It's cool. We look like a Spy versus Spy cartoon. It's terrible. But most importantly, there, find us there.
Where was I for this?
Find us there or on iTunes. You can meet us if you rank us, or on Stitcher, or on the chartographers@gmail.com.
On the Google Play.
Yeah, all those. I mean, we're on so many places. Carla, what are other places that you can find us at?
SoundCloud. Instagram?
Yes.
Maybe we should.
Yeah.
Do we have a Twitter yet?
No, we don't. Well, I was going to do that at the end of the season, though. This is also the second last stars we're going to do before the season's
That's
over.
Fair.
So
you can also find them in Chicago.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. Please don't hunt us down, though. No. We're too pretty.
Yeah.
Also, the next episode is our last episode of the season, and we're going to get into that a little bit. It's just kind of weird that we're almost done with the second season, though.
I know, we're so close.
I know, and I'm so glad that we were at the point where, like, oh, it'd be so cool if Broken Social Scene put out a new album, and then they did, and it was great, and it was awesome, and we see them in a month.
We had so many bands like that this season.
Yeah.
Again, the year when everyone put out music.
Exactly. 2018 is going to suck, guys. I'm just telling you that right
now. It can't live up to this.
No, exactly. So maybe if no one releases any good music but Donald Trump is out of office, you know what? Great. I love it. It's fantastic. We'll get there.
Just don't get my hopes up.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please, again, rank us and talk to us. We're great. Talk to Carlo. He's going to have a thing out soon. I don't know what it is. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a mixtape. But I'm not even
You've resigned yourself to that thing.
I'm just going to be, like, recording the sound of pebbles and pretending that's my voice. I don't know. Pebbles hitting the ground. You saw the action.
I did.
That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life. Guys, we need to end this real quick. Keep on listening. You know that we'll be. Thank you so much.
That time I totally failed to tell that story. I didn't remember any of the important details.
So there was a guy.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that's it.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I couldn't remember the band name. I couldn't remember which person called her. I couldn't remember who she stayed
with. But you got there eventually.
We're still recording. Can this be part of our B-side?
Oh, our B-side? Our beehive? We're listening to our beehive now. Okay, guys, listen, we gotta go. Thank you so much for listening. Keep on listening. You know that we'll be. Have a good one. Goodbye!
Yo, 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 yo,